Well, hello everyone. We have a great and exciting guest for this afternoon. We are going to be speaking with channeler Carolyn Evers, who is also going to be having her own show at www.bbsradio.com. And she has written Chaos Before Creation, A Cosmic Fire Dance, which you can pick up at www.healingmysteries.com. Welcome so much, Carolyn, to our show.
Oh, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to be talking to you. Can you tell us a little bit about, let's start with current events, which is always so exciting. You're going to be having your own radio show as well?
Yes. Last Saturday was the first show, and we talked about HARP because we had received messages from the Earth goddesses as to the effect that it was having on the planet, and so that was interesting. And the next show coming up, apparently HARP seems to be an issue with those on the other side, because Gaia talks about what is happening in Yellowstone National Park along with Archangel Michael, and we're planning on having Rona Herman talking, because she's going to have a group going to Yellowstone to help settle the planet, and there's something brewing there, and we're going to be talking about that.
Well, I think that's really interesting, because I'm going to be on WPS 1250 radio on Friday, and I asked my guides, well, what should I be talking about? And they said Earth mysteries and Earth changes. So
yeah.
I guess it is coming up, but let's focus on the information that is coming through for you. What exactly is happening here?
You mean with this particular book, or are you talking about in general?
Just general, in terms of the Earth changes. Why is it such a big topic on the other side? What kind of information are they trying to push through for us? God bless them. They're so busy over there.
I would say it goes back to 1999. See, I'm interested in what they tell me about Earth changes, but what I like to do is I'm very interested in science, and I like to investigate the scientific aspect of it and find confirmation in the science community regarding their words. And in another book that we've done, Viva Papa, with information that our late dear Pope has given to us, he talks about that particular date, that there was a tremendous burst that came through the sun that we know of as a period of time that was different, because there was a special imprinting that came through the sun. Now, ordinarily, we have electrons that come from the sun that we know of as Aurora Borealis that helps protect the Earth from these blasts of energy coming through. But on that particular date, there was no blast of particles. There was no Aurora Borealis that day. And what the Pope and others have told me is that this was a special imprinting that came from cosmic center. And so, in that particular book, I give all of the information that came from NASA, which actually that documents that it was a very rare event where we had this gigantic burst of energy from the sun and no Aurora Borealis. And so that was one of an important changes. And of course there's more and more on top of that, but that is what has allowed these other energies coming through, because it not only imprinted the Earth and the core of the Earth, but it imprinted our bodies also.
Oh, well, that's really cool. So those of you that got tattoos on that date, you know why.
We got tattoos? See, I didn't get mine.
Now, what kind of imprinting happened exactly? Because what I'm getting is that I feel like when you're talking about the energy that's coming through is a decoding as well as a coding for DNA.
The energy that we have been receiving is not all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there has been energy that has imprinted us, and is working on the DNA, but there's other energies also. And so when we talk about energy, it's not all one form of energy. For instance, in the latest work that I got from Archangel Michael, which is called Earth History, Past, Present, and Future, he talks about energy that came in just this January. This was a very special energy because what that energy did is it connected, it did a lot of rewiring in our bodies where what we consider the third eye was actually connected to centers in the base of our spine that was preparing us for the beginning of raising of Kundalini on a grand scale. And so each one of these energies that are coming through have a specific, it seems to me that it has a specific job that it's doing here, either with the planet, with our energy bodies, with our DNA, and so it's not all the same.
Yes, but what was that one particular energy without the Aurora Borealis?
That was special in the sense that this imprinting that we're talking about, this had to do with humankind's emotions and the, of where the consciousness was at that moment. And if on that particular event, there were a lot of people talking about doing meditations, you'll find that a lot of groups, when there is a special eclipse coming, you'll notice that there'll be a lot of groups that will be sending out information, trying to bring up the world's consciousness and meditation. And so they're imprinting periods also. But that particular imprinting of time, from what I understand, not only imprinted our emotions in the group consciousness, but it actually changed the core of the earth. And what I'm being told is that there is a crystalline structure in the core of the earth that is a in a form of a sacred geometric shape, and that there is a connection now, almost like a tape that one would read. And so as God sends this information from cosmic center, it comes through the sun, goes through our bodies, goes through the earth, goes down to the core of the earth, where it then bounces back through the same route, and the creator in the center of the cosmos reads this. He, she, however you see, the great creator in the cosmic center, they are able to read this and understand exactly where every human being is. In other words, this readout is being processed to allow cosmic center when that moment is ready where the dimensions will be dividing.
Awesome. It's that call and response for all you jazz musicians out there. That call and response from all the dimensions in the world. Boy, that is how God knows who we are. Now, what you're describing is, of course, this kind of emotional process that acts as a call and response. And, of course, we change emotionally from it. And one of the things that I'm thinking about as you're talking is that, of course, it would have to make earth changes happen. How else could it be?
Well, that certainly is a big part of it. And as I understand what is being given to me, there is an astrological component of earth changes in the sense that as energy comes from a cosmic source, if things are not aligned in a specific, definite place in the cosmos, then these energies have to come through different gateways. It's not a direct it is not a direct line to this planet. And that's what is happening right now. We have all these gateways and passages that this energy has to go through. and what is ultimately happening, and I would say that this perhaps would be the biggest earth change, is we are approaching an opening in the cosmos where Earth will pass over this opening and have a direct line to source, and it'll take 1,000 years for the planet to transverse this, and in my humble belief, this is 1,000 years that Jesus Christ predicted. We will have a direct line to source. And so we're going through steps. We're going through a progression. And I would say that that progression probably started back in the, I think that was in the either the 30s or the 40s when Edgar Cayce talked about a shift or a change that was made in the core of the Earth. And for those people who do read and are interested in what Edgar Cayce said, that is a very interesting thought to me, because that was the shift and in the core, and then from that all of these different energies are coming forth, making this total and complete change. Did I answer your question?
It's really interesting talking to you, Carolyn. I completely resonate with your process of being in time, understanding all this information at once, and then trying to describe pieces of it.
Well, we could just pull up our chairs here and have a little fireside chat.
Well, that's what it's all about. I understand that kind of like trying to describe all these processes, because they can get so unwieldy, especially if you're tuning into them all at once.
Well, they are unwieldy, but what I find so fascinating is when you really start looking at the hard physical sciences and you line those up and you compare them to what the spiritual hierarchy are telling us on the other side, you can really see that there is a correlation between spirituality and science. We have so long been trying to break those two, like, oh, God belongs in this compartment and hard physical sciences belongs in that compartment, and it's not the truth. They are blended hand in hand.
Well, I think that's an interesting point of view, because I think a couple of weeks ago I'm scheduled to have Mark Vincetti from What the Bleep Do We Know on, and there were times mixed up, so I'm going to have him on in a couple of weeks. In any event, I was thinking about that. Why is it necessary, or why do we want science to confirm what we know to be the truth spiritually, at least in this country? Is that something that we need in the Western world?
I think many people need this, and it's because the way the brain was wired. In the early days, I say early days, you know, when you and I remember being in Atlantis.
That's right. There we go.
Back in those days, our bodies were wired differently, and the brain wasn't divided into two hemispheres, so that this spiritual information came into our brain, and then we could act upon this information with all of the abilities that we had, and we were connected to creation in such a unique aspect that we could bring into the hard physical world material, or we could bring forth hard physical things such as flowers and so forth, to give an example, and we could do this through the mind power alone, and using God's energy and aligning ourselves with God. And then when we fell in consciousness, the brain divided. And so what was left was what we call the third eye. And that helped. We had one side of the brain that was the spiritual side that brought this energy in, and then it would sort of like jump or spark over the third eye, and then register into what we believe as the rational reasoning thinking mind. And this was done because we were like children who were out there and were misbehaving and doing things that was wrong, using our powers indiscriminately. And so now what is happening is these threads, we are literally being rewired again. We have more threads being laid down over the third eye, so that we can, on a more consciously even method, bring this energy into our regional thinking mind. Now, that kind of sounds like it's not an answer to your question, like, why do we need it? Well, we need to understand science and spirituality because there's a whole group of people now, because of the way the mind has been changed, that only see life as a valid viewpoint if we can confirm it with our reasoning, thinking mind. So there's many people out there who says, well, you know, I don't believe in that esoteric stuff. Give me something I can wrap my mind around and that I can feel is truth. And it is for this group of people, and there are many of them, all they need is a little bit of few of these pieces put together and say, okay, you believe this. This is a hard physical science. Well, here's where this explains our spirituality. And so many of us now are grasping for that. Give me something I can believe in. And that is why I truly feel that it's so important bringing in the scientific information along with the spiritual information. People are going to hold on to that.
So there's two questions I have for you. One of them is, what is the scientific information that you really resonate to that is correlated and supports the evidence that you know to be spiritual truth?
Well,
let's start with that one.
Yeah, you go for the easy stuff, don't you? Well, I get so fascinated. For instance, I'll be on the internet. You know, I'm an internet junkie. And I'll see a question about...
Do they have support groups for that?
Yeah. I'll see a question where they'll talk about, give you a real good example. There's a galaxy that, you know, we've got so many things with new microscopes, not microscopes, but new telescopes and things we've got out in space now that's bringing back pictures that we never saw before. And so the scientists are seeing, the astronomers are starting to see some pictures that they weren't aware of things. For instance, there's a nebula that they picked up that has the shape of DNA. That's one of the most recent things. Now, I haven't asked the spiritual hierarchy. It's on my list. I've written it down.
I bet you have one huge list.
I do. And so that's going to be an interesting answer, I'm sure, because I got an idea what I think that might be. But they found this galaxy where there is a tremendous burst of energy, and it has really astounded the astronomers. And there was something about the picture that I saw on NASA. I'm thinking, wow, there's something there I need to find out. And so I said, okay, who wants to come and talk about this? Because I think there's something cooking there for us.
And don't all talk at once. I hate it when you do that.
Now, I've got this little rope they stand behind. Okay, their turn. I give them a number. And Jesus came forth and he told me about the energies that was coming forth at that particular spot. And so what I did is I send out that particular message to different groups that I'm aware of, and I give them the link so they read what Jesus had to say about it, and then they go to the link and they see what science has to say about it. And so I have a lot of stories like that. I'll see something on human resonance, for instance. It tickles my imagination. I just have this inner sense that something's going on there. And so I have a lot of these lists, and they fascinate the daylights out of me. I think they got to be doing something to the people that read it. So that was half. Was that the only question, or was that the half of a question?
That was part and parcel of the other question, which I'm not sure if they have anything to do with one another yet. I'm sure they do. The 1,000 years.
Yes.
What about that, and what does it mean, and what changes are we going to? Apparently, the changes have already started. What changes are we going to continue to experience?
Well, in Earth History by Archangel Michael, he talks about two sides of the question. You see, spirit doesn't really know, according to him and according to others. Matter of fact, everybody who's coming through is telling you the same thing, that there is the worst possible scenario and there is the easiest possible scenario that we can move through. And the line that is in the middle that determines what side is going to face us, so to speak, is human consciousness. And so that it depends on where our thoughts, our hearts and minds are, whether we are truly open and compassionate, and we can imprint the planet with our compassion and love, that it's going to give the balance to our planet to help bring in these earth changes on an even keel. And from what I am hearing is we are not meditating enough. We are not sending out love. Gaia asks the same thing. She tells us that that she and we have a relationship with one another, and how important our thoughts are for the mechanisms of the planet. Matter of fact, it's going to be one of the messages that I'm going to be reading this Saturday, because there is, again, another indication that the heart problem is behind what's going on in Yellowstone, and how she particularly needs us to send love to her and to envision the purple flame. And so when we hear things in the news that are dire, that seem troublesome, instead of resounding or allowing our hearts to be full of fear or agony or anticipation, what we need to do is we need to send light and love to those events. If we read about somebody in the newspaper or on TV who's been in a terrible automobile accident, we need to send our love and compassion to this situation and ask God to help turn these events to the best possible solution for all that is involved. And see, we're not doing this. We're sitting on our, I guess that's a potato couch, I'm not sure. And we are looking at these things, and we're not being proactive in the sense that we need to send forth this compassion. The earth needs this. It is a sentient being that is very influenced by our thoughts. We are the fulcrum. If you think of a balance beam, or you think of a seesaw, and you've got the very worst earth changes on one side and the very best, we are the fulcrum. And our consciousness dropped in Atlantis. The earth completely changed. We had a completely different axis, and so this is what they're all asking us. It's in our hands.
So we could have it the easy way, or we could have it the hard way, but the earth changes are going to come, and they're going to come for us, through us, through our intent. You know, one of the things that I'm thinking about as you're speaking is one of the possible psychological reasons, and I'm sure there is many, but one of them that is coming through real strongly is that we are really having a tough time with guilt upon this planet. The reason being is because subconsciously and unconsciously we're aware that we do have a part and parcel process of the wars that are occurring, that is the devastation, the starvation, the problems in developing countries. And how do we face that?
Our guilt?
Yes, as a populace, in order to change it. Because what happens is, of course, is that we can't send love and compassion out there if we're coming from a stance of guilt. We have to defend against the guilt. You see what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Cool.
I don't know what you're saying.
Awesome. I like it when I communicate.
This is one of the things, this was one of the reasons why Chaos Before Creation was written by those on the other side. Because
cool. That is just perfect.
Because this is the first step in our progression, so to speak. And for people who believe in other lifetimes and maybe even remember other lifetimes, you probably are aware that you had tremendous, oh golly, the emotions were just so overwhelming. If you were murdered and tortured before you died, you might be carrying all kinds of things.
Right.
Emotional guilt, fear, anger, hatred, you name it. It's
or if you were the murderer.
There's so many aspects of it. We could have railed out against God for allowing us to even be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a tremendous amount of emotions that people had to clear. Now, if you probably are aware of this, anything that is imperfect, we cannot take with us when we go to the other side. When we actually transition in death, if we have imperfection of any sort, it stays on this plane. And so we go to the other side, and then when we are called back into this world again, we pick that up in a seed that actually enters our blood, goes by the DNA, and some call this karma. This has to be cleared. Now, some people do manage to clear this, and some do not. And if we have some of these things that become stuck in our energy body that surrounds the physical body, and if they're not cleared over a period of time, they will surface as distress in some way that we call disease. Disease. We come up with a disease if we don't clear this. And that is the thought behind chaos before creation. The method that one uses to clear our energy body of these past traumas. Now, ordinarily, when we have many lifetimes ahead of us, we can chip away a little bit of this on each lifetime. But my sources are telling me what is happening is this burden has become larger because we haven't cleared it in the past. And so they have come forth. We have 13 masters who are discussing every aspect of healing. And the one in particular that perhaps I think is the most fascinating, well, actually, I just love every one of these. They're all fascinating to me. But there is a Nancy King who discusses clearing blockages from the emotional body.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's in your book.
Yeah, she was a frontier physician. Well, I guess then we really couldn't call them physicians because they didn't have schooling. And she explains what that was like and how they used intuition and herbs for clearing, and then she goes into how we actually clear these blockages from our energy body. And so we have to clear this before we can ascend, because we can't take imperfection with us into the higher dimensions. And so there are people who are now, if you have a healer that is working with you who can help you clear these things, that's marvelous. You're blessed. Because there are people who can work with these energy patterns and help you clear them from your body.
But now, is that something that you do?
No, it's not something I do, but I. It's interesting that you should say that, because in a month or a month and a half, I'm going to have a lady who is my own guest who actually goes into the theta level of consciousness and works with people on these things and many other aspects of healing. And that's kind of a whole different a whole different thing. I just love her, and I think everybody who hears her will love her.
Cool.
So,
and for those of you out there who need that kind of help, that's something that my abilities with my guides are able to provide as well.
Oh, marvelous.
So, yes. God bless them. They're busy souls over there.
Can you see into the body when you are doing this?
I can, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly what they do, what my particular guides do, because they're really, that's their specialty actually, because they work with the emotions.
Ah.
And I think it's because, well, first off, it's because of the trauma that I suffered in my life, which I became a channel from, and then the many years of therapy, and now the many expansive layers of therapy that I have with my own analyst who's Jungian. So I work on the unconscious with my dreams as well.
Now, you know why you did all that, don't you?
Well, why didn't you tell me?
Well, because I was on a similar path. And, you know, you're struggling through this. You want to get through this. And it's like, oh, my golly, how do I get from here to there? And so you probably, just like me, had your hand up. You know, you came into this plane. You said, okay, you need this. Here's my hand up. And you come. And one of the way, I mean, I this has happened to so many people. When they're working with spirit, they will go through this process so they really understand the struggles that their brothers and sisters are going through. And see, you've been through all of this. You can say in your heart,
well, I raised my hand, Carolyn.
Well, you know what? I don't know if this is true with you, but spirit hasn't figured it out. I haven't been raising my hand every one of these times. My hand's broken. You know, they look at me in the audience and they say, oh, there's that fool down there. She's got her hand up again. And I keep telling them, no, dear, it's just broken. I can't get it down. So we go through these things so we understand and we can assist. And I'm sure because you've been through this, you have this great compassion in your heart because you truly know what the people who come to you, you truly know the cross that they bear, and I'm sure you're truly joyful in being able to free them from this.
I am, and I'm really grateful for the kind of work that my guides are able to do because they become, I don't know if they become, but through me, they work with the emotions and they do predictions and that kind of thing, but it's always working with the emotional vibration, and they're experts at doing that kind of work. And what they do is exactly what you're talking about, is that they work with the energy. They see how people are emanating their lives from their energy. And of course, that could be past, present, and future all
mm-hmm,
at once.
Mm-hmm.
And then they provide people with the optimum energy to create their life. And then, of course, that becomes the prediction, which is always 100% accurate, because how else could it be? So that's the way that they work. And it's really, I'm so grateful for it. I'm just very, very grateful, but it's because of, as you're saying, as the intent of my life. Now, can you go into explaining what karma is? Because so many people have very strange ideas about karma.
Before we go into karma, I would just like to mention something that you said about the energy body and why changing the energy body is so important, and it is because it is part of that blueprint that is linked to the physical, and
yes.
it has that energy body has to be changed first before the result, so to speak,
exactly
filters down to the physical.
That's exactly correct.
There, just as an aside, because I think this is very fascinating, the Russians before their country was broken up, they were working on a diagnostic tool for this very thing. And what they were working on was taking pictures of the energy body.
Cool.
Kirlian photography. In other words, Kirlian photography started in Russia. And for people who might not be aware of it, it's taking a picture through an electrical field. And it's like if you see a negative, one is where the black is and where the white is, so to speak, in a negative. It shows up opposite in Kirlian photography. So what they were able to do by taking the picture of a person through Kirlian photography, they were actually able to see the colors in their energy body that was the subtle body that surrounded the physical. And so they were doing a study on the colors. So you would go to the doctor, and instead of having a physical exam, they take a picture of your aura. Don't you just love it?
I do, I do.
And so, you know, you would get your follow-up exam, your follow-up picture, and they could tell by the progression of the colors where you needed help in the physical.
That is so awesome.
Isn't it?
It is awesome. And I used to do group sessions when I had time. I don't do it anymore, but, those once-a-month group sessions.
Right.
And a friend of mine showed up with a digital camera.
Right.
And as I was doing a group session, the guy said that they would work on this particular woman. And you could actually see in the photographs, even though it was a wood-paneled room, you could see the energy above her head in this, like, white cloud. It was the coolest thing.
Don't you love it?
Don't you love it? It's just so awesome. God bless them. So anyway, tell us what karma is, because people have, like I mentioned before, have such weird ideas about what it all is.
Well, how about you telling me what your experience has been with some of these weird ideas that people have about karma? What's the weirdest idea that
people people think it's punishment.
Okay.
Rather than it's something that needs to be recognized and worked through consciously, that it's not punishment, it's just a learning experience. And it's just, what was that? Let me see. I'm trying to remember now. But Freud coined a term way back when psychology was new. And of course he had all these, very strange ideas about psychoanalysis. But one of the things that he explored was repetition and repetition of psychological processes and why people tend to repeat things, such as why, for example, people stay in abusive relationships, why women go out and repeat abusive experiences with men over and over and over again. And of course, one of the reasons being is because their pathways, as you were talking about, were formed neurologically in the brain. And that's one reason, is because it almost becomes a compulsive desire through these neurological pathways that are formed in trauma to repeat the experience, because there needs to be consciously something recognized, as well as the spiritual recognition as well, in order for the ascension to take place, as you're speaking of. So the learning that is available through the repetition is something that has to be carried on a conscious level, totally, rather than a subconscious or an unconscious level, in order for these patterns to be cleared, which is what you're talking about when you say our Western civilization must now come to a place where we can combine science and spirituality, because that gives us a conscious rationale for what we may know subconsciously or unconsciously in a different way.
Well, I can certainly accept that, but I'd like to throw out a little thought in conjunction with that. How it has been explained to me, and I'm not saying that what you said is wrong. Please don't take for a second. This is just sort of like a little thought that kind of, goes alongside of this.
Uh-huh.
But what my sources have called what you're talking about is a tape that is played in the mind. See, I have an easier time understanding it when I think of it in this manner. I'm agreeing with what you're saying, but just perhaps expressing it a little different, so that when we're young, we're very impressionable in those early ages, and so we believe things that people tell us. So if we dropped a dozen eggs on the kitchen floor and our mother said to us, "My golly, you're clumsy." Not only are you clumsy, but you're downright stupid. Your little mind, because it hasn't formed as an adult, accepts this as truth, because
right.
This teacher told us something that was true. Now, I don't look at that as karma. I look at that as what my sources have said is you have started to play a tape, and that your mind wrapped itself around and believed in. And so as we get older now, we know we're not stupid and clumsy and dumb, but we have an embarrassing moment, and so this little tape is played again. And so we have to, first of all, be aware that we've got this little tape that's going on in our mind, and
understands that we can change that. We don't have to follow that course anymore because we're an adult. We graduated from school. We got a job now. And we don't have to live by our parents' belief system in us. And so I think some of our actions are being repeated, and it is this negative activity because these tapes are being replayed. Now, I don't see that as karma. So that's what I was trying to point out, that there is a difference of how we were schooled in this lifetime, and we're repeating that behavior because we haven't recognized that there is a tape and that it can be changed.
So what do you see as karma?
Well, what I see as karma as something that has occurred in one of our previous lifetimes that wasn't completed and has to be reworked here. Now, that could be something that is what we might consider negative, or it could be something that we consider positive and
Right-o.
Is a very great gift. In other words, we might have had a life in the past where we truly trod on the high path towards perfection.
That's
and
right.
So we were entitled to a gift, one of these little, bonuses in life. And you see some of these people. My golly, they could fall down a hill of rocks and stones and come up with a flower.
Yeah. But I was talking about it specifically in regards to punishment. Because that's some of the weird ideas that people have.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I think we can talk about that, but it's also good to understand that what comes over from another lifetime is not all punishment.
That's right.
And we need to recognize our blessings and thank God for our blessings every day if we're going to start to replay some different tapes. We must be in a form of gratitude.
Yeah.
And somehow gratitude has been lost because now we've gotten to the point where we expect all these good things. And so if you get caught up in that, you can then bring some negativity towards you because you became arrogant, you weren't full of gratitude, and you didn't stay on the spiritual path. And so I really do think this is all interchanged. What could have come to us as a lesson that maybe was a hard lesson to correct could really be made a whole lot worse because of our insensitivity and lack of gratitude had compounded with that.
That and not recognizing the gifts that come from it, which is what you're saying. Both
yes.
are the same thing.
Now, how bad can negative karma become? Well, I'll tell you again, we have our choice. We always got our choice. We've got a big menu here. And what Spirit has told me is if we have an issue to overcome, whatever we could think of.
Arrogance.
Okay. We've got a very gentle reminder in some incident in life that we have to be loving and not arrogant. So life presents us with a first choice. And let's say you take the easy road and you notice this event that came in your life. Maybe you didn't get a promotion because your boss really didn't like your arrogance. And so you didn't recognize that, and you started becoming maybe aggressive. Well, how come he doesn't, you know the routine. And so this first event happens in your life. You didn't learn your lesson. This was a carryover from the past. So then, and I believe this is directed by your soul. So the next event comes in your life. Maybe something that's a little bit more important than this job promotion. Here is another event that has come for you to rectify, to be aware, to understand you have arrogance that you need to overcome. And so your next challenge in life is going to be a little bit more difficult.
That's right.
Because
you didn't notice it. They tapped you on your shoulder, and you sort of shrugged and went your way, so they're going to tap a little harder the next time. And so I believe that we get three rather gentle taps on the shoulder, and if we don't pay attention, they're going to progress a little, it's going to become a little bit more challenging and a little bit more difficult because you didn't pay attention to what the plan was, why you were there.
So what you're saying is that we get three gentle taps, and if we don't pay attention, we get one big kick in the ass.
Well, I was going to say they give us the boot, but you put it a little bit more succinctly.
Well, you know, whoops, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with you. So that's what happens. And then what happens when you pass over is, do you take these energies along with you?
No.
Okay.
Now, any failures that you have gone through or any challenges that you didn't meet and overcome, they don't go with you. That they stay here, like we said, as that little seed. And the part about the reason this is so important to clear all this stuff is, okay, suppose you had the arrogance here that you didn't clear, and in another lifetime, maybe you murdered a group of people. I mean, we're really getting desperate here now, but now, whatever it was, now you've got two seeds to correct the next time. And so what my sources have told me is this is what has happened. We haven't been clearing all of our karma. What we're discussing now is the negative karma. And so it has been piling up on us.
Okay. So tell me about, that brings up a question because.
Doesn't it always? You get a little piece of something.
It does. I need another hour.
Well, we can come back another time and talk about it.
We'll do this another time.
Maybe we'll even talk about one of the books.
Yeah, really. Maybe we'll bring your work into it, okay? okay, well, it brings up a question for me because from my understanding and others' understanding, is that when you go over to the other side, there's a great deal of healing that takes place.
I really think it depends on the circumstance. Yes, I hear a lot of people talk about healing, you know, that there are centers, and there are probably people who need it. But I suspect that that's not 100% because I remember... I remember a lot of my past lifetimes. And again, it's...
Yes, do you remember when you passed over?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear about it. So you were over on the other side.
You see, I believe that a lot of these memories have occurred just so I can be doing what I'm doing right now.
Uh-huh.
And remembering these past lifetimes and having my son read the Akashic Records and seeing this stream of history has been, this was all a dance of life, you know. It was a choreography to do what I do now. But yes, I remember living in the south of France right before the Inquisition. And I don't know if people out there are familiar what the south of France was like then. It was a blossoming of great spirituality. And the reason that it was is because the Templars had found interesting, they were led to this information, the spiritual information that was recorded and held for them. And so they came back to France, and they brought a lot of this there's a lot that they brought back, but one of the things that we're talking about.
Probably now, good wine was one of them.
Good wine? No, they actually left with good wine.
Well, good for them.
But, so they had some understanding of how to live spiritually, how to be completely under, God's banner, so to speak. And, like it happens so many times, the King of France and the Northern Knights who lived in the north of France and the south of Spain, were envious of what they had, and they actually came in and it was a political thing. They wanted their money. And so these were very, very good people. And, the Cathars had to be destroyed. The Templars had to be destroyed if they were going to stamp out these belief systems and take over the land. And I remember, my family and myself, at that time owned Carcassonne. That was a medieval town in the south of France. And the gentleman that I was had a very close connection with Mother Mary, and he had a choice. As Carcassonne was certainly going to be destroyed because they had cut off the water supply, he was offered to walk out with his family. They had about 50,000 people that had gathered there for protection because it was a walled city. And he had the opportunity that he and his family could leave. They would be allowed to live. They could go. But they had, he knew and that if he did, that all the people inside would be massacred. And Mother Mary asked him to protect the people, and which he did to the best of his ability, and he was actually captured and brutally tortured before he was killed. These people wanted everything. And so I remember when he crossed over, and the joy and the elation. He was so, because you go through this process of looking over your past lifetime, the choices that you made, what was asked of you, the opportunity to serve. You go through all these things. And so I went through all of these things as Tronchevelle, and when I got to that point, he had lost everything. He had lost his lands. He had a wife and a child who he couldn't pass the lands on to them. He could have had it all. But what he felt after he went through this, and I will never forget it, was his thought, I can't tell you the joy. I cannot tell you the joy that he felt. And he said, I made the right choice.
How wonderful.
So, when we make the right choice, there is a joy that is just overwhelming. And he was promised, one of the promises that was made to him is that he tried to bring in a new age. And he gave up his life to help people, and he was promised that he would see the new energies come to earth that would actually make a difference, and new life would be on this planet. And I didn't realize ahead of time that this was his gift. When I went to France with a group of ladies, and we were there at the Harmonic Concordance, and I saw the energies come in that were the Christ energies that was brought in by the angels and the masters. The sky was filled with them, and I saw this energy brought to earth, and that is when I met him, and he told me his story, and that was the gift.
This is why I'm saying that karma is not necessarily something that is bad. This man's good karma. I was there to see the energies as promised, so that was his good karma.
How wonderful. So that's the same kind of information I get too. It's similar because I channeled the book about JFK, and when he went over, and he's still there, of course,
yeah,
naturally, but he's in council, and it's the same kind of information that came through reviewing choices, looking at what occurred, talking with other people that he had made choices with. It's all this kind of conscious recognition of what happened in his life and the effects.
Isn't that beautiful?
Amazing.
Beautiful from the point of view that we come face to face with powers and plans that we just had no concept when we're in here in our body, plodding along with our daily lives, you know, washing our dishes, changing tires.
You know, but that brings up another question. We've only got 2 minutes, but it brings up another question for me, because if JFK and other people are going over to the other side and sitting in what he called a council, then what about this conscious recognition on the other side of the complete totality, the complete understanding of what our choices make while we're on the earth plane? What about that helps us when we go back down and we're encountering, as you say, these seeds of karma? You see what I'm saying? Because then we become unconscious again. Anyway, just a thought.
That's another hour, dear.
I know. We got about a minute. Okay, but I just want to let people know where to reach you. Chaos Before Creation, A Cosmic Fire Dance by Carolyn Evers, and you're certainly welcome back on the show. www.healingmysteries.com, and I don't have a phone number for you. I don't know if you have a public phone number that you would like to give out.
No, I really don't, because I have so many websites and so many books. I would prefer that people would send me the information through the email.
Okay, why don't you give the total list of your websites as well as your books?
They are all listed on www.archangelmichaelsconclave.com. They are all listed there. We have Conversations with Caesar. We've got Under Grace, which is the story of the death of my son and how we got involved in all of this, how the two of us worked together, he on one side, I on this side. And, of course, Chaos Before Creation, and then Archangel Michael's Earth History. And then there is a novel of my memory of my past lifetime in Rome, and this is a love affair between Julius Caesar and the young man that she loved, Flavius, who was the centurion, and they were to bring in world peace at that time.
All right. So people can reach you there, and thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you. And my show Sunday, let's see, is at noon now for those of you who are not aware of the changes, which of course you're going to be because that's where it is now. And our next individual who's going to be on is Reverend Monroe, who offers fascinating and multiple healings for emotional and physical needs. So thank you all very much and have a great day. Bye bye now.
You have been listening to BS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.